to people who don't know that, is to allow people to find out about this fascinating hobby of ham radio. 25 different kinds of ham radio there are, all connected by wireless technology. Lately, wireless technology plus computers are heavily involved. A person signs into the tech net, by which he gets his questions answered, by giving Mel and Dick your call letters, your name, and then confirming yes. And the yes means you do have a question or a comment for the net. A typical sign-in would sound like this. M2EO, Rich, yes. Do we have any check-in?
Paul, with a yes.
W-E-N-J, Bob, no, just morning, good evening, everyone. Good evening, this is K2KY.
Okay, we've so far gotten Paul, Bob, and Mel in that order, and another person who had some dropout. That other person, want to try again?
N2CRT, Howard, and Mel.
I think it was N2CRT, Howard, with a no. Anyone else?
I was N2GOT, Howard.
Thank you for the correction. Okay, Mr. G.O.T. Okay, we've got Paul, Mel, Bob, and Howard. Anyone else? My goodness. They must be all watching a PBS program on the war, or the war from the New York City point of view. Paul, you're the first person with a real question. You're going to have to extend your question nice and long. You may be the only guy. So, and by the way, that new launch that took place last Thursday, we're really looking forward to hearing about that one, where it's going to be visiting two asteroids and be primarily powered by an ion engine, high technology. I think the first landing or the first encounter, somewhere like 2012, is it, or 2011? That's a real future program. So, what would you like to know about tonight, Paul? WS2N, K2RIW.
Okay, Dick, yeah, we'll go over the Dawn spacecraft later. In 2011, you're right, for a time. For the encounter. Dick, yeah, I had a question about, if it's possible to homebrew an amp probe. My purpose here, anyways, I'd like to check on which Romex cable I want to cut. I want to cut in the attic, or I want to put a box in and, light and all, Just want to figure out that three cables going down. And I did it my own way. I don't have an amp probe. And I see I only want to use it one time. I see it looks like they go for $100 or something, for amp probe that could read AC. So my goal is to, homebrew another one. This way in the future I could use it. I use a transistor radio. I put on an AM. And I took one of these lights, these low power lights, fluorescent bulbs that they have, 14 watt bulbs, and they tend to give off noise. And a compact fluorescent light, that's what I'm looking for, CFLs. And they give off noise. I mean, if you bring an AM radio near these things, gives off RF. And what I did is in the line itself, all the way back to maybe 10, 50, 15, 20, 30, 40 feet away, you can pick this up. So I used an AM radio to make, as a detector, and it worked real good. I put it on the shortwave or AM. I put it on broadcast, 1200 kilohertz. And I thought, well, maybe because 60 hertz is you could divide that into 1,200. 1,200, that would be good, but almost anywhere on a band where it wasn't a station worked out pretty good. And I was also able to bring the station almost on and use it almost like a one of these stud finders, almost, where you could find the wire actually running through the wall everywhere where these wires actually run. But using one light bulb, one of these fluorescent bulbs, I was able to locate the cable I wanted to cut, but I'd rather not go through that. I wonder if I could home brewer an amp probe. Back to you, Dick. WS2X.
NYS.
Yeah, that's a very crafty idea you got there. As I see it, Paul, beautiful crafty idea to recognize the fact that a compact fluorescent light makes quite a bit of electromagnetic interference. So that what I think you're trying to do, if I understand correctly, is to identify which cable from the fuse box, we'll say, goes to which area of the house. By plugging in a small lamp with a compact fluorescent light in it, that particular wire had a higher than normal amount of fluorescent light interference. The reason a fluorescent light tends to make a lot of noise is because the mercury vapor that's inside is emitting strong ultraviolet light. The ultraviolet light hits the phosphor of the glass, the phosphor lining on the inside of the glass, which converts ultraviolet light into visible light. But the ultraviolet mechanism of the mercury vapor is a plasma. In other words, the gas has become ionized, the gas has become conductive. So on each half of a 60-cycle sine wave of voltage coming out of, in your case, LIPA, which used to be Long Island Lighting Company, Long Island Power Authority now, each half of the cycle restrikes the fluorescent mercury vapor into conducting. If you could actually build yourself an amp probe, which you're about to do, when you build this amp probe, which I'm going to tell you some ways that you can do it. When you build this amp probe, you're going to then be able to look at the waveform that's on the current waveform that's on a particular wire that has this compact fluorescent light bulb working on it. And you're going to see that the current comes in spikes. In other words, the sine wave of voltage starts off at zero and rises at a steep rate, and all of a sudden, as the voltage rises at a particular potential, probably around 20 volts or so, the fluorescent bulb goes into conduction mode, and the voltage then goes into some kind of limitation, and the current climbs rapidly. And on the top of that cycle, the current goes to a peak. At the bottom of the cycle, the mercury vapor literally goes out instantaneously, and on the negative half cycle, it strikes again. Well, that very discontinuous voltage on and off current characteristic of the mercury vapor, and the mercury vapor, by the way, is a negative impedance. So sometimes you increase the voltage on it, you increase the current, and the voltage across it decreases. That's what negative impedance means. You put more current through it, and if it was an almost ordinary resistor, you put more current through it, and the voltage drop across it increases. Well, with a plasma, you put more current through it, in many cases, the voltage will actually decrease. You get a combination of this rusty nail-like phenomena where it starts going into a spike of conduction on each half cycle of 120 cycles. It's making 120 cycle raspy noise, and that raspy noise goes across the whole spectrum, and it certainly covers the AM band. And on the assumption it makes enough noise and you want to really figure out which cable is the hot one, you can easily run into the situation where it makes the darn much noise that every one of the cables are a little bit hot and you want to desensitize the thing. Well, the craftiest way to desensitize it is to crank up the automatic gain control voltage on the front end of the receiver. The quickest way to crank up the automatic gain control is to don't tune it in between two stations where it hears the noise the most, that's where it's got the maximum gain, but start slowly sliding into one of those stations. Hopefully this is not a digitally tuned radio. This one that's got a continuous frequency dial on it. And as you can start slowly sliding toward one of those AM stations, automatically the radio starts getting stronger and stronger signal from the station as you start tuning closer and closer to it. That means it generates a stronger and stronger automatic gain control voltage, which cuts down the gain of the radio, therefore desensitizes the amount of noise it hears from the fluorescent bulb by two mechanisms. Mechanism number one, the automatic gain control voltage is cutting down the gain. Mechanism number two, you're starting to tune closer and closer to the radio station, and the power of the radio station is overtaking the power of the noise you're getting from the fluorescent bulb. So, although you're going to be hearing some of the music or whatever, and the talking that goes on in the AM radio station, with the right amount of tuning off to one side, you'll get just the amount of sensitivity you want. That's pretty crafty. Have I gotten close so far of how you've done this? And that's a really good idea. One or two of the fuses in my house, I've never really been able to figure out what it goes to. Somebody put a piece of tape on the fuse box, and alongside that particular fuse, they said the room with the big bulb, or the room with the big floor lamp. Well, of course, the person moved out of the house. I bought a used house. They took that floor lamp out, and I don't know which one of the outlets in that particular room, or even what room it is, which has this great big floor lamp that has the marking on the fuse box. So I've never really figured out where all of my fuses go, and I'm going to be using this technique. So before I proceed and tell you how to build a current probe, is that what you did? And very crafty. A WS2N, K2RIW in the deck net.
K2L.
D recognized, but Paul first. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it's exactly what I did. Well, two-step procedure. One was the CFL, and that brought me to which wire is which. And it's kind of fun, you know, like, you're coming out of there, there's one wire that goes to a light in the garage room. And when that switch is off, no noise, because the hot leg is not connected. Turn that on, you put the radio over there, and you can hear that buzzing noise. So it's kind of fun to crawl around your attic and do things like that. But then I did what you said, off tuning to one side. Disconnect the light bulb that's now out of the circuit. But what you can do is, with no appliances necessarily being on, but you go along the wall with the radio, and if you off tune it, just like what you said, the station starts to come in. If it's a talk station at 1200 at the time, you can just hear the station coming up a little louder. And just like a sub finder, you can go around and you can, you know, I know that now that one wire feeds from the one box and goes to the garage, and then from there that goes up to the attic. You know, you can follow it around. So yeah, just what you said, Dick. I did that because I was experimenting, and I just realized there was a station there, and I realized the station noise was starting, you know, the volume was starting, you could hear what they were saying. And any time I went to any wall in the house, wherever the Romax wire is, it was starting to come up. I don't know if maybe because I'm changing the capacitance, or, you know, like when your body comes near an antenna or something, I'm not sure the reason for that, but yeah, that's exactly what I was doing back here.
Very crafty. So, like a stud finder, you are now finding the wires hidden in the wall, even though the wall is covered over with sheetrock and wallpaper and paint and everything else. Turns out that every piece of wire in your house, when it comes to AM radio, is an antenna. You take your ham radio rig, we'll say an 80-meter rig, and connect nothing to the antenna terminal, and turn it to the middle of the 80-meter band, and except for the guy that might be transmitting next door, you're not going to hear a thing. Hang a random length of wire, a clip lead or whatever, that's anything more than a couple of inches long. Hang it on the center conductor of the UHF connector on the back panel of that radio, and you'll start hearing things. So on those kind of frequencies, on the, let's say from 80 meters on down, a tiny little piece of wire is an antenna. It picks up signal. So therefore, the wiring of your house is continuously picking up signal, and when the magnetic loop stick inside of your transistorized AM radio comes close to that wire, it's picking up some of that signal, and therefore, if you're off-tuned on the signal, so you're just barely hearing the station, and now you make the signal stronger because you come closer to the Romex wire that's buried in the wall, as you wave the radio near that portion of the wall, you'll hear the strength of the radio signal increase, and even though you tune it off to one side, you're going to start hearing it. If you live next door to the broadcast station, you can tune a whole lot of kilohertz off to one side and still hear that radio. You'd hear some distortion, but you'd hear that particular radio station. So, pretty soon I'm going to tell you my comments with reference to an amp probe. Let's see what Steve's got to say. KS2RL, I bet you've done searching things like that, Steve. K2RIW in the tech man. First of all, the wire, if there's any horizontal, correction, if there's any vertical extent to the wire anywhere in your house, because the AM broadcast station is 99% vertically polarized, yeah, there's a little bit of scrambling of that polarization as it goes near the water towers and everything else in your neighborhood, but an AM broadcast station is primarily vertically polarized. So any vertical section of wire in your house is picking up that signal, and that signal crawls along that wire. Now the signal is stronger on the wire than it is in the air around the wire. So when you bring the loop stick of your antenna close to that wire, it is being exposed to a stronger signal. Now, the method by which you're picking up the signal from that wire, is it capacitive or inductive? The answer is yes. You're asking me which one dominates. I'm not sure. In the case of the loop stick antenna, which listens much more to the H field and the E field, it is my guess that the H field coupling from the wire with the AM signal on it into your radio, I think the H field coupling is greater than the E field coupling. But you wouldn't easily be able to tell. As you hold your transistor radio near the wall and twist the radio in azimuth and elevation and polarization, as you twist the radio into various orientations, you're going to pick up more and less signal. And I think the signal is going to be maximum when the loop stick is at right angles to the wire, because the magnetic field around the wire that's coupling the signal is very similar to having your fingers curled around a wire and your thumb aimed along the wire. The thumb is indicating the direction of current flow on the wire, and your fingers curled around the wire are showing the H field around the wire, the way the magnetic lines of force loop around the wire. Those magnetic lines of force, when the loop stick is at right angles, let me think if I got that right. I think so. Yes. When the loop stick is at right angles to the wire, it will pick up the maximum amount of signal. You want those magnetic lines of force that are curling around the wire. Those magnetic lines must be parallel to the ferrite rod of your loop stick in order to get the greatest amount of coupling. Now, as you orient the radio in various polarizations, you're picking up more and less signal from the wire. At the same time, you're picking up more and less signal that's being broadcast over the air. And how those two mix together, that's a little bit more complicated. So let's see what Steve's got to say about all this. KF2RL, K2RIW in the tech man.
Okay, no beep, I guess. I was waiting for the beep. Actually, those compact listen bulbs, I actually took one apart, and it's actually got a switching power supply inside. So probably what he's hearing is a harmonic of the original switching frequency. I like his idea of using the AM radio, actually, to find out which wire has the light bulb on it. Probably better than any amp probe will actually do, because, as you said, it's got Romex. And if you're putting an amp probe around Romex, you know, like where the signal's differential at 60 hertz, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of current. Probably his idea with the AM radio was much better. That's just my opinion.
PNJ. Okay, Bob, go ahead with your comment.
The air probe will work if you wrap it around both conductors, the white and the neutral and the conductor. You get that canceling out. Under $20, you can buy a volt pen. It's called a volt pen. Bluetooth makes it, a number of manufacturers make it. It fits in your pocket like a pen. It's got a white probe on one end. It's about 6 inches long. It's about 5/8 of an inch in diameter. It has a AAA battery in it. And when you bring the tip, the white tip, to the Romex, the LED inside will illuminate. If it's pinned, the lead is on, it'll actually show you what side of the jacket that the black wire is, the hot end. They're very effective to determine what circuit is on, what circuit is off. So by process of elimination, by shutting off the fuel and breaking, you can find out which particular circuit is fired using the voltage. And they go for less than, they go from anywhere between 15 and 20 bucks. And all electrical supply houses will have them. And they call them voltage. Fluke makes one, that's the kind I have, but there's other brands too.
That's a very handy device, that voltage.